Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. You're listening to Corner Office for Marketplace, our podcast that features interviews with CEOs from a whole bunch of different companies that you are probably familiar with. Today, Andrew Wilson, the CEO of Electronic Arts, or EA. If you've heard of video games like FIFA and Madden and Battlefield 1, you are familiar with their work.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Andrew Wilson, the CEO of EA, was in Los Angeles because of the Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3 it's called. EA had a big space set up. They were letting players, really super fans, try out some of their new, not yet released to the public games. I'm going to let him explain what's going on here.
And so we've got it themed, basically, so that you can come in, and this is, you know, Battlefield 1. We've got 64 stations playing games. People come in, they play, they compete.
So this is just rows and rows and rows of people playing Battlefield 1?
Yeah. Together.
Is this like the Super Bowl and the Oscars and like every amazing thing all wrapped up in one for you?
Yes, and this year it's even better because we've invited players in. So every other year we come down for E3 week, which is awesome, and we get press and media and industry people in the mix.
Here we are.
And this year, you know, we did all that, plus we invited players and community leaders and influencers and the people who kind of play our games and connect with our games every day. And quite frankly, the people that are truly spreading the word about what it is we're doing.
Let me ask you about that then, the idea of players. The way you have brought this company back is this thing you're called Players First, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? And how'd you lose your way is actually a better question to start with.
Yeah, so when you're in a creative industry, you can get very precious about what it is that you're building. And I think in some places, we were coming to work every day trying to do amazing things, but forgetting who it was we were doing it for. And all we did when we came back together was say, hey, let's think about the players first. Let's always start with them. Let's have them be the lens through which we look at this world, through the filter by which we make decisions. What might they want? What might enhance their lives? What might make it better for them to connect with their friends? And it really, we galvanized around that, and the company's a different company as a result.
You mentioned connecting with your friends. It sort of sounds like you think of this as a little bit as a social media company, kind of.
Well, there are a whole bunch of motivations as to why we play games. Inspiration, escape, competition, creation, self-improvement. But the very core of why we play games is social connection. When people come to play one of our games, they become part of a community. They share something with their friends. They compete against them. They compete with them. They enjoy the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And that's a pretty special thing. And if you look at the way our players enjoy our games, it's always done with their friends. And that's what makes what we do so great. Watching a movie is awesome, and watching a movie with your friends is awesome. But playing a game somewhere where a friend can help you do what it is that you do in a game, that's profound.
Let me posit a potential customer problem for you, right? I've got an 8-year-old daughter who can play Star Wars Battlefront for hours, truly, right?
Yep.
When I let her do it. She can also pull out my iPhone and play games on that for hours as well. How do you cater to both of those audiences without cannibalizing one over the other?
The misnomer is that one will cannibalize the other. I can watch TV on my phone, but when I'm sitting in my living room in front of a 60-inch TV, I don't watch it on my phone. I watch it on the big screen.
Yeah, see, now my kids do. Maybe you're a little old for this job. You know what I mean? Because my kids literally will sit there with a phone and with the big screen.
Yeah, but what you said was and. You didn't say or.
Well, there you go.
What you said was and. And so what we see is not that the mobile device is cannibalizing HD gaming. What we see is mobile devices enhancing and extending HD gaming. And some people will play on a big screen only, some people will play on a mobile device only, some people will play on both. We are building for a future where we will be able to deliver great interactive content to every device that you own. We think about a world where, you know, when I was 15, I wanted to listen to music. I'd go down to the record store. Mm-hmm. I'd buy Bon Jovi Slippery When Wet on cassette tape. I'd go home. I'd put it in my boombox or my little yellow Sony Walkman.
Right. I had one.
Now music permeates every aspect of my life because every device I own plays music, and services like Spotify means music is delivered to me in a personal and customized way. We're building for that future in games, where every device you own, your phone, your PC, your TV, your internet-enabled fridge, will deliver you some form of interactive entertainment, and we're building for a world where players play across devices, across geographies, and across business models.
So I can go to my...
I think that's our future.
I can go to my fridge and pick up the game that I left off on the 60-inch TV?
Well, think about a world where you're playing The Sims, and you are rewarded for having 6 liters of milk in the fridge. simply for, you know, so when you get back into your game, your Sims are fed so, because your fridge is full.
So life becomes a game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Discreet and indiscreet permeates every aspect of our life the same way digital music does today.
This idea of competition in the gaming space,
yep,
and esports and that entire thing. I mean, you guys just launched a million-dollar gaming thing with Madden, right?
Yeah.
To watch people sit there and play football on an Xbox or whatever.
Yeah.
You're convinced that people are going to go for that?
Well, I don't have to be convinced. They're already going for it, right? I mean, we've been running esports tournaments in Asia for the best part of a decade. We get tens of thousands of people to turn up and watch people play FIFA online. And so the competition, again, is at the very core of us as human beings. It's why we play sport. It's why we watch sport. There are things on the line. There are things at stake. And we build relationships with the team and the sports we love. And what's happened with us now is the fidelity of our games are going. I mean, have you walked around and looked at our games?
I have. They're kind of amazing.
It's kind of tough to discern between the real world and the virtual world.
No, I'll give you that.
And you do that, and what you're watching is someone who's your age from your town playing. You know, you're not, I mean, I'm never going to, even in my job, I'm probably never going to get to hang out with Tom Brady. I'm probably not.
Even in your job.
But I might get to hang out with one cheesy mofo, you know, who's a great player and a great community leader. And that's the beauty of esports. It gives this new generation a means to connect with people that are putting it on the line every day with big things at stake.
One cheesy mofo being a username, just for those who might not be familiar. I'm just saying, because the FCC listens to this program. what's your worst nightmare? What keeps you up at night?
You know, I think about, you know, we're in a world where we're trying to lead and pioneer and drive new things. And my greatest fear is that we become stagnant, that we stop leading, that we stop pioneering, that we stop creating, that we stop innovating. And, you know, for come like us who've gone through a transformation like we have, it would be really easy right now to sit back and go, cool, job done, team. Let's take a break. Let's go to the beach. When now is actually the time that we've got to push harder than ever. And me and the leadership team and every person in the company comes to work every day with that deep desire to innovate, that deep desire to create, that deep desire to pioneer. And it's up to us not to fall foul of that. It's up to us not to rest. And when I lie awake at night, I'm thinking about how do I make sure that we as a company don't rest even for a second? How do I make sure that we continue to push the boundaries as there are more players playing more games across more platforms, across more geographies than ever before?
Seems like your competition is infinite.
Yeah. I mean, again, what people have come to understand is that time is our most valuable commodity. It can't be retraded. It can't be refunded. It can't get respent. It is the most valuable commodity. Me and Bill Gates, you know, a dollar for him is worth a lot less than a dollar for me. But a minute of his time is basically the same as me, right? So it's this great unifier. And we are in the great competition for time. And what everyone in the world is recognizing is the best way to drive engagement in time is through interactivity. So this business we've been in for 40 years, Visa is trying to get into now. Amazon is trying to get into now. Everyone who buys, sells, trades in terms of business is trying to build interactive entertainment into what they do. And that is now our competition.
How do you, and this is going to sound pejorative, but I don't mean it to, how do you make people realize that gaming is not just for gaming nerds? You know what I mean?
You know, again, we're in this great position. Before I worked in games, I worked the internet. I was a 25-year-old kid. I'd put on a cheap three-piece suit and I'd go to Deutsche Bank and Macquarie and I'd try and raise venture capital to build internet companies in Sydney and in London. And there was this moment in time. It was actually in kind of 99, which is ironic when you think about what was going on in the internet world in 99. There was this moment where I stopped having to stand up there and tell people what the internet was. There was this moment where I didn't have to convince them that the internet wasn't a fad. When I started in this business in the year 2000, there was like 200 million gamers. There's now over 2.5 billion. When I talk to people and I tell people what I do, they go, no longer they go, oh, that's that game for kids. That's that game for 14-year-old kids in their mother's basements. That's now they're like, oh, have you played this? And that's kids, that's adults, that's men, that's women, that's Americans, that's Europeans. People have woken up to the fact that we have a fundamental human need for entertainment and that the games, by virtue of their interactivity and their ability to connect you with your friends, are the best form of entertainment.
Biggest breakthrough that's coming in gaming that nobody's thinking about yet?
I think the notion that games will become both discreet and indiscreet experiences, like music. I don't think gamers even are cognizant of the fact that there will come a time where everything that you do in the real world will enhance your life in the virtual world. And I think it's going to be, people write books about it, but I think it's coming, and I think it's going to be unbelievably fun.
Let's take a quick spin around. Can we do that? Just give me a little show and tell here. So this is one of what, like three floors that you guys have here?
Yeah.
And this is general public, right? They come in and they pay you $300 or whatever it is?
They pay us nothing. We bring them in. Again, this is a player event, right? You can't say we're going to invite the players in and then, oh, guess what? We're going to charge a bunch of money. Yeah. We bring them in. We feed them. We get them drink. We let them play. We let them experience. And then we create an environment where they can live stream from the show floor, if they want to their community of followers.
Where are we? What do we got? Oh, look at that. So there's Battlefield 1. More Battlefield 1. Yeah, why does it have to be dark? Well, never mind. And this is the Madden NFL.
This is Madden Championship going on right now. People have played through a series of knockout tournaments. Think World Series of Poker.
Oh, wow.
People have played a series of knockout tournaments to make it to this event. And this will be one of, four or five major events that we host through the year. But there's events going on every minute of every day as people aspire to get into the Madden Championship and have a chance to play for $1 million.
You're going to have play-by-play announcers, the whole deal, right?
Yeah, the whole deal. Camera. I mean, this is the real thing. And people say to me, are you sure people want to watch video games? And I say, listen, for the longest time there, we were all sitting up watching World Series of Poker on ESPN. And it was big and it was meaningful. And the dude with the weird hat and the mirrored glasses,
right.
We grew to love that dude. Because he was putting it all on the line. When he moved $1 million of chips into the middle,
right.
We went, wow. There it is. Stuff's at stake, and that's what's going on here. But there's a lot more fun things to see than watching World Series of Poker. It's right. Much better watching our game than watching cards turn on the river.
Is there, you guys need to do a television channel if you haven't already.
We've done a bunch of things. We've had a great relationship with ESPN over the years, a great relationship with CBS and NBC, and we've done a lot of TV shows. I think there comes a time where we will actually have so much content we could drive our own channel.
Not
it's
yet.
Probably not going to be in the traditional sense of a TV channel because, again, there's a democratization of viewing that's happening amongst the younger audience where they expect it on whatever device they want it on through whatever delivery model they want. And we're going to have to figure out how do we deliver, great, curated, interesting content in a way that makes sense for them.
Right.
But it's coming.
Part of what's going on here today, right, is a preview of these games.
Yeah.
Right? So how much of that is building the buzz for when Battlefield 1's going to land in, October, right? So that's what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we want to do a couple of things. One, we want to give people a look at what we're doing, get them excited about that and give them a real, what we do is we release a trailer. And right. The trailer is this unbelievably cinematic piece with great music. We did it with a Jack White piece done by the Glitch Mob. Had 37 million views. One of the most viewed trailers, if not the most viewed trailer on YouTube when we launched it just a couple of months ago. What we're doing here is saying, hey, you watched the trailer. The first question you had is this real or did you just make a movie? And this says, no, this thing is real. And you get to go and tell your community that this thing is real. But more importantly, you also get to tell us what you want to see by the time we launch. Because we're not going to get everything right out of the gate. And they're coming in, they're playing, saying, hey, I love this part of the game, I love that part of the game, but wouldn't it be cool if we could do this? And we're listening, and we're putting that stuff in the game.
Who gets to decide on what goes out the door? Like with Battlefield 1, are you going to sit there and play it for a couple hours and say, yeah, that one didn't look real, and I don't like that, and we need more blowing up over there?
I get a say, but I don't have any greater say than the development team. We try and empower great creative leaders in our company. I give them feedback, but I always caveat any feedback I give with, listen, I am but one voice. Don't change it just because I say so, but I want you to think about this.
Yeah, but when the boss says, I want you to think about this, come on.
No, I think we've got to... Again, I grew up making games, right? Yeah. So I came out of the studio system. And so when I say it, they believe me. And sometimes they'll push back. And I go, actually, we think we want to do it this way. And so we want to empower great creative teams. And you get a game like Battlefield 1, because let me tell you, the marketing guys, the executives, wouldn't launch a World War 1 game. I mean, the metrics would tell you...
Because you look at it and you say, World War 1? What?
Yeah. But then the team had this great passion for it. The team said, listen, we really want to build this. We think we can make the most modern game that we've made for a really long time, even though it's set inside of World War One. We think we can deliver a type of gameplay that we couldn't deliver in any other era. And we said, okay, And what you get is what I think is going to be the biggest shooter this year.
What's your favorite game ever, all time?
Probably California Games. Was this crazy little game that I used to play in my Commodore 64 when I was a kid.
Wow.
But it had surfing, skateboarding, hacky sack. And again, if I went back and played it now, it would just be the dumbest
game
ever. It'd be
horrible. You wouldn't be able to do it.
I mean, it would be absolute rubbish. But at that moment, I mean, we would go surf. I grew up on in a beach town. I'd go surfing with my friends, and we'd come home, and we'd sit there and have, like, California Games competition. So I have this memory of this time with some of the greatest friends in my life playing this game, this super simple game, but a game that related to what we did in real life, you know, skateboarding and surfing. And I've kind of held on to that. And every time I've made a game in my career, I've wanted for us to be able to kind of replicate that experience, create a game that brought people together and gave them a sense of fun that kind of transcended the game that you played. And I think, you know, California Games did that with me. I built FIFA for a long time. I think FIFA does that. Battlefield does it. You know, that is kind of the essence of what we do.
Andrew, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. That was the latest episode of Corner Office from Marketplace. If you liked what you heard, rate us on iTunes, would you? Be kind. We'll have another episode up in about 2 weeks. Thanks.